This morning, I'm going to speak from, I'm going to read from Philippians 2. A couple Sundays ago, I started in Philippians 2 there, starting at verse 1, but I'll continue on from verse 12. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul starts off with therefore. Therefore is speaking of the humble unity that we have in Christ. If we remember from a couple weeks ago when I was speaking in Philippians, on the humble, obedient service of our Lord and Savior, and how he unifies the believer in him. So therefore, since we are unified in Christ, we are to work out this unity in fear and trembling. We are accountable to God for our attitudes. Fear and trembling shows submissiveness and humility. Ephesians 6, verse 5 says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ." God knows our heart. He knows if we are serving with sincerity of heart. We may be able to lie to one another, but we cannot lie to God. He knows our true nature, the true nature of our heart. I find that in my own life, that after I ask God for his leading and his strength, that it is easy for myself to go and trust myself, to seek my own strength and my own way. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but we get so busy sometimes, or personally I get so busy sometimes, that we choose the path of least resistance, or we base our choices on what we want to do. And they may not be bad things, but we make these decisions without God, and then we ask him to bless them. And then we find that God interrupts our lives with something, with a trial or a test, with an illness or a disease, and we ask, why are you interrupting our plan like this? When really, it is not God who is interrupting our plan, but we are the ones who have interrupted God's by not waiting on him and trusting in him. God doesn't always give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. Meaning God knows that we need what we need when more than we do. God wants true obedience, and it is only brought out of love. If we do not have love, the love of God in us, we cannot be obedient. Verse 13 of Philippians says, "For it is God who works in you both to will to do for his good pleasure." We cannot work out anything to please God unless he first has worked in our lives. So often I fail when I look to do my own will. It is only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ that you and I can be obedient to God to do his good pleasure. Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." In verse 14, we read of Philippians, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." To do all things without complaining or disputing. Again, I often fall short of this. Once one person starts complaining, how easy it is to continue to complain, how easy it is to join in I think we live in a culture of complaining and disputing. It comes so naturally to us that it shows that if we do not complain and dispute things, we are different. That it actually shows our dependency upon God. Just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, so we as believers are to reflect the light of God's Son. That's S-O-N. It means that we are to resist the grumbling and the complaining under our breath, or the arguing and insisting on our own ways or our own rights. Isn't that the way of the world? We want our rights to be heard. That is the complaint of the day, it seems like. We are to be blameless and harmless children of God without fault, meaning that the world around us should not be able to bring a specific charge against us. We are to live a life without blame. Matthew 10, verse 16 says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." God wants us to be pure, clean vessels in the world, to shine in the midst of the dark and sinful world. It is only possible as the body of Christ lives in unity under the head. And in verse 16 to 18 of Philippians, it says, "Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." Holding fast to the word of life. Paul is saying that we are to reflect Jesus, sharing him who is the word with the world, that we may be able to rejoice at his coming, that we might hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We do not want to find that we have run or labored in vain. Too often we cruise through life as our actions do not matter, but people are watching, and as the body of Christ, we are to be unified as one, to be ready to be poured out as Paul was, like a drink offering, pointing to the sacrifice which was entirely poured out over the burnt offering during the altar ceremony. Nothing was held back for the priest. It was all poured out or spent on the altar as a sacrifice representing total dedication to the Lord. Just as God did not hold anything back when he offered his Son on the cross for our salvation, Paul's life was being poured out on a burnt offering of their faith. His life was being spent to build up the body of Christ. Are we willing to give everything we have to build up the body of Christ as Paul did? God held nothing back to give us salvation. How can we not give our own life in return? Paul in 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 to 8 says, "For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing." Do we love his appearing? Are we ready to face our Creator? That we might have a heart for our Lord and Savior. That is God's wish for us, that we would be dedicated to him and that we'd be obedient to his word and his truth. May God richly bless each and every one here today.